morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you here on this Hoodwink Tuesday. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Greeny at 10, Carmen and Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvia at 2, Black and Abdallah 6 to 8, right into Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Glad to have you with us. Hope that you have a great Tuesday. As Cap and I talk to you about the Bears and Matt Eberflus, we're going to hear from Eberflus momentarily. You know, Cap, I was reading Jason Leisure, our buddy, right?
I'm sorry, Coach. Are you fired yet?
No, Jason, I'm not.
Leisure, so
thank
good.
You.
I'm a fan.
Are you fired yet, Coach?
I'm not. I'm still here. Thank you. Matt Eberflus, master of adjustments, must retool Bears' approach for the final four games. We have talked a lot. I'm sure in this offseason, Cap, and on a snowy Tuesday in February, we'll get into this after the Super Bowl, about Matt Eberflus. And it's like, okay, so we're waiting for Justin Fields and his development, and we're waiting for Brisker and Gordon and their development, and we're waiting to see if Braxton Jones get it done, and see if Bayless Jones could be in the passing game. By the way, how many passes for Bayless Jones Sunday?
Not a lot.
Excuse me?
I don't believe he caught any. He catch one? Maybe one.
Zero.
Zero.
He got a handoff.
That was a handoff, correct. I didn't know how they scored it.
Now, who are the wide receivers for the Bears? St. Brown and Pettis?
Equanimeous St. Brown, Dante Pettis, Byron Pringle, Chase Claypool. That's about it.
And Bayless Jones can't get in the passing game?
No.
Okay. So, Eberflus, master of adjustments.
How old is he? 35?
Cap?
25-year-old rookie.
Cap? I'm just telling you. If he's not in the passing game next year, I'm going to hit the roof. After all that wide receiver-rich draft that we went through.
And that's what we got.
Cap? I mean, you could have a connection with Fields and whoever that draft pick was. Now! You could have a connection now. Even in the losing, right? You say, well, this is our kid. This is our draft pick. You know what? In a couple of years, those guys are going to be a great, you know, 1-2 combination. And Bayless Jones can't see the field? Matt Eberflus, master of adjustments, must retool Bears' approach to the final four games. We talk about all the other intangibles, but what about this guy? What about this Eberflus? He's pretty good in the press conference, right? Dancing around the questions, you know, and he gives you a solid answer. Solid vanilla, but he answers it perfectly. But what about him? I told you that once the building is up and once they crack the door in Arlington Heights, when it's ready to be open, there'll be another coach walking through there. It won't be Eberflus.
That's 6 years from now.
Well, right. Now you know why I said that.
Right.
Because things move slow in the state.
Correct.
So Eberflus is not going to be the head coach once we get a new Bears stadium.
Correct.
But what about this guy? When I see master of adjustments must retool Bears' approach to the final four games, can he with this roster? Is it possible?
No.
It says Eberflus needs to shift the Bears' strategy and starting lineup to get all he can out of the home stretch.
It's like, what is he shifting? They're 3-10. I mean, do you want to see more of Alex Leatherwood? Okay, put him out there.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, because I know he was a stud. You know he was a stud at Alabama.
He was.
When he was drafted, I go, look at the Raiders. My God, they got a guy that's going to be there for a decade. He was a monster.
Monster.
And then, obviously, things didn't work out. And now, just in part-time play, based on what I saw Sunday, and you'll have the All-22 pretty soon here, not bad at all.
All-22's up tonight.
Oh, well, not bad, though. Keep your eyes on him.
Right.
I thought he played well. But what adjustments? He comes in with a defensive coordinator resume with that Colts team. So you think immediately, even though he's a CEO over this team, that he'll be able to do something to help tinkering with the offense, the defense, rather, with Alan Williams, right? This is an expertise.
Right, but what can you really do? Is Brisker and Gordon ready to go? Are they coming out of the protocol? Does it make sense to play them? I guess if they get cleared, I would hate for them to get another concussion and then go, oh, God.
Right.
Now, again, I know you can't put people in bubble wrap. I get all of that. But guys who are like a huge part of my future, you better err on the side of caution. Again, Alex Brown said yesterday he would not play Justin another snap the rest of the year.
Right. That's an Eberflus decision, too, now.
Correct.
Is it not? I know it's all on Justin. Justin, how do you feel? They talk to the doctors. I mean, Eberflus also should be able to sign off on this one way or the other, whether or not it's safe or should Fields continue to play. It's not for my entertainment, too. I don't need to see Fields just to make me comfortable as a Bears fan, because really it's about next year, the next few years. It's not about this year. I understand what this year is. But for some, it's like, well, the only reason why I watch is because of Justin, so I need to see him whether he's hurt or not. That ain't fair. Don't be so selfish. It's about the next year and the following years for Justin Fields.
Regarding Eberflus and his defense, don't you guys think that there should be, regardless of the talent, at least a little higher of a floor on what we've seen defensively because Eberflus is supposedly, his expertise is in defense?
How about that, Charlie? And again, maybe it's because of what we say about the offense, the defense is the same. What playmakers can Eberflus work with to get that defense to get to the quarterback?
There's nobody. Do you know that Aaron Rodgers, he literally could have put a napkin around his shirt collar, pulled himself up, and had a meal while he was waiting for a receiver to get open. They never touched him in 32 dropbacks.
Well, here's the point, Charlie and Shay. Guys, I don't want Eberflus to be a football's version of David Ross, where you can't judge him because, well, I mean, he was the old wise owl during the World Series championship.
Teflon Ross.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and the last 70 games when guys started to get healthy and they brought some guys, he went 39-31 with a roster where they took all his guys. David Ross is a damn good manager. Damn good.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think it's not like the referendum conversation that's happening on Eberflus right now. Nobody's saying he's not the guy. It's just, shouldn't there be some level of concern? Like, he's done mostly good things. I think he's let the offense play to its strengths. I think he's allowed Justin, through Luke Getsy, to become who he should be as a player. But I think when you look at the defense, wouldn't you want more than a turnstile a little bit?
They have no talent, Shay.
Yeah, I still don't buy that that's true, and I've told you that. You've led so many of these games for 55 minutes. The talent on the field's getting the job done to some extent. I just wish they didn't look like a turnstile in the fourth quarter of every one of these games.
So is it
that we'll agree to disagree? They did not pressure Aaron one time.
Yeah,
that wasn't Matt's fault.
Quarterback hits, but you can scheme stuff up to get guys home. You like rushing four every time, it's never going to happen, because I'll agree with you there. You don't have a pass rusher on the defensive line. If you're only going to go with four, you're not getting home. But there are ways you can get guys home rushing five or six if you get creative. We just haven't seen that.
Honestly, disagree. Well, honestly, God, if you go to next year and you find out it's more of an offensive team than a defensive team, even though Eberflus has defensive, he's a defensive coordinator, that's on his resume, would that cause concern? Because I want the Bears to make stops. I don't want Justin Fields to have, again, one of these great games in which he scores three or four touchdowns and the Bears lose, you know, 38-35. I don't want to see that. At some point, you got to make a stop. And again, through free agency in the draft, I'm sure you'll get that. But when will that happen?
This is a multi-year process.
Sure.
Multi-year. That's how many holes they have. What did Bill Polian tell Waddle and Sylvie? You need 10 to 12 impact guys on an NFL roster. Mm-hmm. 10 to 12 to be a team that can make a run. Okay, who do we have on our team that you go, that's a blue chipper right there? He said you need 10 to 12 of them.
Justin Fields.
Okay, name me another one.
Yep. Jack Sanborn.
No.
How dare you?
Good player.
How dare you?
Not a blue chipper. Nice player. Actually, glad we have him.
By the way, is that not the definition of blue chipper? When you did your scouting, you would say, that's potential, right? Didn't you write in your scouting reports, this guy's a blue chipper, meaning that he's a guy that's on the come, that can produce for you in a year?
No. Blue chipper was, whoa. Do you see the talent on that guy? Like Jack Sanborn's, you had to always have a glue guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody, that guy's a really good player. He's a good guy in the room. He's a leader. He plays hard. Blue chippers are Justin Jeffersons. Blue chippers are Justin Fields, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Christian McCaffrey. Those are blue chip guys.
Justin's in that category too?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. Name me how many blue chippers they have on their roster.
Bears?
Yes.
Justin Fields.
And I think Brisker has a chance to be a blue chipper. I do. I truly believe that.
Don't you think schematically, though, you could they could manufacture more competence, at least defensively, so they're not allowing these 30-point games so often?
No, because they can't get pressure on the quarterback. And if you send six, you're not that good at if you send six.
You know, when they were healthy early in the season, I was looking for that, Charlie. But when you don't have Brisker and Gordon at it, again, I don't know what they're going to be ultimately. You, if you don't have a pass rush, it's hard for you to be able to get that. All I'm saying is we're talking about this now, but we'll be talking about this next year too. Like, when this will this defense be able to get to the quarterback? That matters. This might be an explosive offense for the next 5-10 years, but you still got to make stops. I don't want the Bears losing because they can't get to the quarterback. And Eberflus is a defensive coordinator. This has to happen. You've got to be able to get to the quarterback.
You have to.
And get takeaways.
You've got to get him a couple edge guys, and you've got to get a three technique like Jalen Carter. We don't have any of that.
By the way, Charlie and Shay, anytime that you are talking about Jack Sanborn, I want you to make sure, and for those of you that are part of Cap and Jay Nation, anytime you just bring him up at work or school or whatever, when you say Jack Sanborn, make sure you moan afterwards. That's people won't know what's wrong with you, but I think it'll catch on. Or a drip emoji after if you're going to type in Jack Sanborn's name.
Right? I got you.
That's how you do that. That's how you do that. Hey, by the way, Cap, I know you don't have the great sense of smell, only for news and not actual things.
Right, I don't have a great sense of smell. That is a fact.
Does that smell like gas to you?
Something might be on fire.
We're trying to figure out back here.
I'm a little concerned. I may have to make a run to the front desk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't smell a thing.
Oh, I know. You don't have any sense of smell.
I don't.
Yeah. So, but there's a sense, a hint of...
If I start smelling it, then we really have a problem.
So I smell like something's on fire or there's a gas leak in the studio.
By the way, JG on Twitter said, does Hoodie think the movie Blue Chips was about diamonds in the rough?
Yes.
Braxton Jones, Blue Chip.
Yes.
He is not a blue chip.
Yes.
He can be.
He could be.
Mm-hmm.
He's not now. You don't look at the roster and go, oh, Braxton Jones.
Well, yeah, you don't look at a team that's 3-14 maybe and go, there's a lot of blue chips here, but they can develop into them. That's what I'm looking for.
Fair.
We'll see. That's fair.
Yeah.
Correct.
So what adjustments do you want to see from the Bears and Eberflus after the bye week? And also we're going to hear from Matt Eberflus as well. How much of the failed fourth quarter drives falls on the shoulders of Justin Fields? Eberflus will answer that, and we'll take your phone calls on the Bears right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll have Worst Weekends coming up at 9:35. And why Worst Weekends on Tuesday? Because we're busy on Mondays with Bears Monday. That's the reason why. All right, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Cap, let's talk a little bit about the Bears and Matt Eberflus. So there was a question that was posed to him yesterday. How much of the failed fourth quarter drives falls on the shoulders of Justin Fields? And so Matt Eberflus talked to the press and said,
well, it's the nature of the position, right? I mean, that's what it is. You know, the quarterback, you know, gets a lot of things that are put on him, you know, in terms of praise and everything. When everybody's blocking in front of him, clean pocket, you know, the receiver's running the correct route and all the positivity. That a lot of that goes to the quarterback. You know, the media puts it there, the fans put it there and all that. But really, it's all 11 guys. And it's the same thing with the criticism, right? It all goes to the quarterback. Well, it's not warranted that way because it's all 11 guys, you know. So it's a team game, you know. And to me, it is, because if you don't have all the guys doing the same thing at the same time, the right way, it's hard to execute. It just really is. So to me, it's all 11. And again, certainly our quarterback is running in the huddle. He's running the plays, and he'll be a big instrumental part to our success in the future. And we're getting him in those situations, and he's doing a good job. I thought the 2-minute operation was much better to me in terms of the operation of it, You know, it looked crisp. It looked clean. Pocket was clean. Ball was out on time. When you look at both of those drives, and to me, it looked a lot better.
But do you see him as a guy who can develop, a quarterback who can develop into the guy who wills performance out of his teammates, gets the wide receiver to come back and block and knock that ball down or make the block, or, you know what I'm saying, that wills performance? Is that what it takes to turn these losses into victories?
Yeah, that's a good point, and I would say yes. I believe that to be true. I know the man inside after being with him for a year and the grit he has and the talent he has. No question he's going to get it done.
So thoughts there for Matt Eberflus. And then you heard Potsy with the follow-up there.
You did. Mm-hmm. Potsy and Leisure, both with the probing questions mm-hmm. in there.
What do you think of that?
I understand exactly where Coach is coming from. Nobody connected with the Bears is going to come out and go, doesn't trust the receivers because they're not very good, and his best receiver's out for the year. Doesn't trust the O-line because he gets hit a lot, and they're playing better. I give Chris Morgan, the O-line coach, a lot of credit. They are playing better football. They are. It also helps that you've got this generational talent back there can turn trapped in the pocket into a 55-yard touchdown run. Like the cuts he made, Pringle did a nice job. He didn't level somebody, but he got in the way and set an edge. There he goes. Mm-hmm. See you later. That helps.
I always say this. When a team underachieves cap, it's on everybody. It's on everybody. When you lose, it's on everybody.
It is.
And you got to find a way to be able to win a ball game. And that should always be the goal. But, of course, there's always more talented teams. So as we saw this schedule come down the pike and we saw in December how difficult it's going to be, we knew that the Eagles and the Buffalo game and the Vikings game would be difficult whether or not the Bears had a full complement of players or not, or difference-making players or not. We knew it was going to be difficult because we know those teams are going to be perennial playoff teams. The Bills, Eagles, Vikings, you knew that was going to be tough. So I know that people want to be able to fast-forward through this season and fast-forward through the draft and get ready for next September, but it doesn't work that way. As it was written in the Sun-Times about a process, that's exactly what it is, the process. That's what they're going through right now.
Correct. Go back there. I just retweeted Brandon Thorne, who puts up really good NFL content, at Brandon Thorne.
Mm-hmm.
He is an O-line scout. He works with Bleacher Report. Really good. He put up a video just now. Again, you can follow me at the Catman. It's right there. Remember the deep ball to N'Keal Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Watch how hard Justin gets. I mean, blasted.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole deal, man. He's got to be tough. He's got to stand in there and deliver the football. He did. But, man, you've got to get some better guys around him at receiver, at offensive line, and then let's see where it goes.
By the way, so our guy Keyshawn Johnson,
mm-hmm.
and you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Mm-hmm.
They won't have me on, but they'll have you on and to talk about the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I'll take up too much time.
Wow.
Don't.
Now you know why we do the Friday folder. Go ahead.
So Keyshawn was saying that the Bears' biggest move has to be to get a wide receiver. Listen.
The number one thing for me with the Chicago Bears is the first thing that I'm going to do in my salary cap is I'm going to get me a wideout. And that's not because I played the position. That's because I know in order to develop that young man, and Equanimeous St. Brown, nice guy. It's cool. He's a body on the field. But he needs to be a receiver to help the quarterback, and that's not what he has right now. He doesn't have a professional receiver.
That might be the case, and that's a shot at Darnell Mooney, by the way, but whatever. He still needs time to be able to throw to said wide receiver.
Agreed.
So that's why the left tackle is paramount for me as a Bears fan, for the Bears to address. Left tackle, someone to protect his front side and his backside,
and if it,
for sure.
And if that guy is Braxton Jones, go get me a good right tackle. Get me a center. I need more on my O-line. You mm-hmm. cannot bring the same five guys back. You cannot.
Bronson's in Michigan City, Indiana on Cap and J-Hood. Good morning, Bronson.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Awesome. You guys are talking about the blue chippers, but no one's bringing up Tevin Jenkins.
I think he's playing fantastic,
minus the hold the other day. But
yeah, he's playing good football. Is he a blue chipper? Like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can go that far.
Good player.
I mean, from going from right tackle to left, jumping everywhere, and then just getting thrown at right guard, and then he's playing, you know, top 10 right guards in the league. It's pretty good considering our old line.
I'm not telling you he isn't pretty good. Blue chip. I'm talking Jamar Chase is blue chip.
Right.
Quentin Nelson is a blue chip. We don't have those guys.
No, not on the O-line, but like, yeah.
We don't have them on the roster, period.
No, minus Field, yeah.
Minus Field.
And then as for the last guy taking a shot at Mooney, I mean, Mooney's been healthy all year, and he's dropped stuff, but he's been doubled the entire time. But I'm ready for next year.
Same here. Got a lot of moves to make.
No question.
Thanks, Bronson.
Appreciate the phone call. Hyde Park. Here's Taylor on ESPN 1000.
Our guy, Taylor.
Good morning, Taylor.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Good morning. It's been a while. Happy holidays.
Hopefully you
all had some good turkey and you're going to have some good ham on the holidays, even though we don't eat swine around here. It's all good.
But you mentioned ham anyway. You had to go there with the ham, even though you are swine-free.
You gotta make sure you cover all bases. You know, I gotta make sure I'm looking out for Cap too. But look, I'm gonna say this about the Deion thing.
Yes.
What Deion did was horrible. The goal was for him to get to a Power Five conference. He went to Colorado, which is a horrible program. The fact that he used the HBCU as a stepping stool and not as a ladder to build a program, and I think that's all of our issues. The fact that he talked about family, talked about black empowerment, talked about all these powerful things when it comes to what an HBCU needs, creating a legacy, and then he jumps to go to Colorado. Jackson State University has more black people than the entire state of Colorado. Does he think he's going to go to Colorado and bring all that swag and juice to Colorado and it's going to be, you know, just A-OK? No, he's going to fail. So the fact that he didn't build a legacy, the fact that Deion Primetime, one of my heroes in the sport of football, literally left the program and didn't build the program for the future. It's horrible. Now all those kids are going to transfer. I mean, he's literally leaving them high and dry for Colorado.
That's he's making $7 million a year versus $350K. If someone called you, Taylor, and said, hey, I want to buy the dispensary you open, and here's $100 million, what about all the people that you hired to work for you that bought into your dream?
I've gotten those offers before, and sometimes the legacy of what you're building is so much greater and bigger than the actual end prize.
But who are you or any of us to tell him what his legacy should be? He came there and he won big and he made them a lot of money. And he said, you know what? You either get terminated or you get upgraded. I'm upgrading. No. See ya.
You don't think he can get a job in 3 years from now? You don't think any one of these, all these, how many schools had new coaches this year before the season even ended? You don't think he can get another job somewhere?
He picked the one he wanted.
He's building a legacy, and he left them high and dry. He used an HBCU. This is the problem. He used an HBCU as a stepping stool versus using it as a ladder to build something for someone else.
Let's address it. I appreciate the phone call. Okay. So, again, Deion Sanders could not get a job in a Power 5 conference or at all in college football. He was able to get his first college job by going to an HBCU, going to Jackson State. You turn a blind eye to the good that Deion Sanders has done at Jackson State. We've talked about how there's more of a spotlight on HBCUs now than even when Eddie Robinson was alive at Grambling. So the idea that he used it as a stepping stool, Deion Sanders is no different than a majority of coaches in college athletics that say, I'm going to build a program for 3 or 4 years. And if I'm not going to get a pay grade for me or my assistants after everything that we've done, then I'm out of here. It's like anything else. And again, it's not just sports, it's business as well. If someone has an opportunity to be able to upgrade money for their family, they're going to do that. So Deion Sanders should take less just because you say so? I mean, again, what Jackson State is now it's on a different level. It's a different playing field. When you see it sold out at game day, think about that, Cap. Jackson State was at – the game day was at Jackson State.
And that was unheard of.
Come on. I mean, sold out. Every game sold out because of what he was able to build. he was not going to be there for a decade. But again, for some people, Cap, if he would have been there for 10 years, and you're 11, if he said, okay, I've done enough here, I'm going to go someplace else.
People would have been mad.
Yeah, people said,
left us high and dry.
Yeah, that's not good enough either. They're not left high and dry. Look at the facilities. And by the way, now, there's so many levels to this, but I'll mention one of the levels they would have mentioned earlier. Do you realize that Emmitt Smith's name has been thrown out there? A guy's never coached before, but he won't be able to coach in the Power Five because Emmitt Smith. Like, what's your credentials?
Correct.
Where are you an offensive coordinator?
Okay, and what if he walked in there and he wins big for 2 years and goes, I'm out. I just got the Texas job.
Yeah. I mean, if that happens,
I have no issue with that.
Well, the point is, like, no one was hiring. So, but here's the point. Now, for someone else that takes that job, right? Someone that doesn't have experience, if they take the Jackson State job, they could do the same thing that Deion's done. They could. Could, I said.
I don't know if they can.
They could.
Because he's a unicorn. He's so special in terms of the Coach Prime brand. You know what I mean?
It wasn't anything for 3 years until he's able to get that opportunity.
Correct.
I mean, okay, so now with Hugh Jackson coaching Grambling State, it's time for Hugh to do something. Why do you think Hugh's there? Hugh wasn't going to get another job in the NFL.
No shot.
Hugh Jackson, he took the Grambling State job so he can be able to retool his image. You think he's going to be there forever like Eddie Robinson? No. He's there to retool his image. He'll be out in a few years, too.
You would think.
If they win. How's Deion any different from any other college coach that takes another opportunity? We've seen it all the time. But for Deion, nope. No, take your $300,000 or whatever you're making and stay there forever. Because, again, it doesn't matter if it's 3 years or 10 years. For some people, it's not enough. You're not doing enough for black folks. You're not? He's still doing stuff for black folks.
Correct.
At Colorado, he'll still be doing stuff for HBCUs. He's been doing it for years.
Correct.
Before he took the job.
Correct.
Worst Weekend's next on Cap and J-Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Swept by the Pirates.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap and J-Hood.
Time for Worst Weekends, and it's brought to you by...
That would be... Okay. We'll call it Lou Malnati's. Here's Shane Norway.
Well done, boys.
The answer is nobody. And again, for you guys on the seventh floor, Worst Weekends has been around for a while.
You might want to sell it.
You might want to do something there. Worst Weekends, Cap and Jay Hood.
Do you have anything any of the sponsors could sell? Yeah.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, I'm going to start with football. Jimmy Garoppolo did not have the best weekend, I think. We've talked a lot about what the Niners side of this is. Could it derail what could have been a Super Bowl season? Will they get Baker Mayfield? What we haven't talked about is, and they haven't ruled definitively that he has a broken Liz Frank and that he'll officially be out for the entire season, but he was on the verge of maybe stealing his job back from Trey Lance. He looked like a future starter long term in this league. He was leading a team that was going to contend for the Super Bowl. Now, his future is very much in question after a foot injury that claimed probably the rest of his year.
Say he stays healthy. How far is San Francisco? How do you think it would fare out?
They've got so many weapons with Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, and they've got Bosa on the defense with others. That team is loaded. Loaded. With Brock Purdy, not so much.
It's just not. It's too late in the game. I don't see magic with Brock Purdy. But then could it be someone like Baker Mayfield that can be able to do just enough to push them over the
He's going to be gone off the board before they ever get to him.
That's a shame. But this is where the direction. So it is that's a worst weekend.
That Bears could claim him.
That'd be funny.
That'd be really funny.
That'd be funny.
Chicago has claimed Baker Mayfield. What?
Could you imagine?
No.
Then he knocks you out of draft position because he'll win a few games for you.
No shot. He's not even the backup in Carolina. He's horrible.
I understand.
And he's a Jag.
Perfect.
They hated him in Cleveland.
Right in. Yeah. Bears need a few of those guys. All right, that is bad. All right, what else is on the list?
Well, it's holiday party season at most companies. And in Traverse City, Michigan, my home state, there was a holiday party. Everybody dressed up in costumes. So one of the guests dressed up as a reindeer. One of the guests dressed up as the Grinch. And this party ended up with the man dressed as the Grinch assaulting the man in the reindeer costume and being arrested.
Was there an assault? What happened there? Why were they fighting?
Police believe the incident was fueled by alcohol consumption and not the size of either man's heart. But the guy in the reindeer costume definitely had what I would call a bad weekend.
You know, you can always trace a bottle of alcohol to those issues, Cap. You can always trace alcohol.
Boy, you got in some trouble. What time were you out? 3 a.m. and there was alcohol involved. Yeah, that's going to end well.
All right. What else happened?
A father in China was hospitalized. So what happened, his young daughter was bit by a little crab beside a stream, one of those like beach crabs that you see. It just kind of pinched her. So he wanted to get revenge on the crab. That's what he called it. Quote, revenge. He ate it live.
And then what was the end result?
Gets sick in a couple days, goes to the hospital, gets blood tests, 3 parasites. Could have died.
Okay, so what kind of jag does that to try to prove that you're a man? Who does that? Who does that?
An idiot.
I mean, Cap, here's what I don't understand. It's like, okay, you can kill the crab. You can throw it in the water, whatever. You're going to eat it?
It's a power move.
Just a little beach crab. Like, you want revenge? Just step on it. What are you putting it in your mouth for?
Just leave it alone.
But it needs to know and made sure the other crabs were watching.
You know what?
All you crabs, you better pay attention.
You know.
You like your life?
Oh, God. Look at this guy. He might eat us. Let's swim away. You know what? In that situation, Charlie, you know what you do? You root for the parasite. That's what you root for. You don't root for the guy. You root for the parasite.
Which one? He got 3.
Yeah, the whole team of parasites. I root for them in that scenario. So ridiculous. Why? I mean, in the moment, you think, "Hey, this happens. You know, I'm gonna swallow it. I'm gonna eat those crabs." Why? My God, eating the crabs reminds me of high school. What else do you have?
Oh God, Woody, come on.
Cap's not listening. Go ahead.
I do not gonna even go there. Because I'll get myself in trouble. I almost swore twice today.
What did I say wrong?
Come on. I'm like off. Now I'm derailed. I don't even know how I get into this last story.
That's what I do.
This is probably number one.
I do the uncomfortable comedy.
Yes,
that's what I do.
Edgelord, Jonathan Hood.
That's right.
I do the Michael Shea stuff here. I'm Saturday Night Live. You noticed that, right? And Charlie, as someone is into comedy, who gets more of the than Michael Che on Saturday Night Live?
Like
the uncomfortable comedy.
Yeah, you.
You. Go ahead, Che.
This is probably the worst weekend. I'm just going to lob this into the room like a grenade and let you two pass it back and forth. Roback and TJ Holmes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, these two.
Okay.
Now, again. If they are getting divorced and they want to get together, that's their business. I could care less. Have a great life. The problem was this was going on while they were married and they're on set where people are like, something's not right. Something doesn't smell right here. And apparently Robin Roberts and George Stephanopoulos said, we try to portray ourselves as this wholesome family thing. While you guys are having this torrid affair behind our backs. Now, they did not go against company policy because neither one's the other superior.
I understand. This, and for those that know, this is Disney. This is ABC Disney.
Correct.
So there is you're supposed to tell people, or tell your higher-ups if you're dating. Is that, Danny, let's go back to that. You remember Disney? You're supposed to declare, right? Oh, you have to do it here, too?
A superior, if it was you and someone at the same level.
Yeah, you got to declare, he says.
So
Because they did not. ABC issued a statement, said they did not violate any corporate policy.
Network President Kim Godwin issued a statement. She said, quote, "I want to say that while the relationship is not a violation of company policy, I really have taken the last few days to think about and work through what I think is best for the ABC News organization. These decisions are not easy. They are not knee-jerk, but they are necessary for the brand and for our priority, which you guys know are all of us, the people here at ABC."
They're just waiting for this to clear, and it's never going to clear out. Like, this will still be a thing. When people see those guys in GMA, the third or fourth hour of that GMA, people are going to see, oh, these two are together.
So what do you do? If you were in charge, would you write them a check and go, well, here, whatever we owe you, it's not a violation. Here's your money. You're out. Or keep them employed?
I'd keep them employed. I would. Would they be on the same show? Probably not.
What are you going to put her on? Dancing with the Stars?
No, she can report. She'd be out in the streets doing some reporting.
What about him?
He could do the same thing. Seriously. They're good reporters. They're good.
Yeah.
But together?
TJ, come in here. You're now covering what's going on in the Gulf.
Yeah, sure. He's done that before.
We're sending you to Afghanistan.
Now, here's the thing. Because of the affair, the numbers have been up. Their ratings have been up at GMA.
But I don't think that's sustainable. I think it's the shock value of the car accident. Everyone's like, whoa!
I would say they should still work at the same company but not be on the same show.
Danny said they need to talk about it on the show. Did you see on Friday, the story broke, they let them go on the air but not talk about it? I'm like, if you're going to let them on the air.
Robin Roberts refused to do the show. She walked out, said, I'm not working with them.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, she says that about everyone except Peyton and Eli, apparently.
Coming up, we have the Cap and Jay cut of the day. Danny's going to put money in your pocket. Listen closely in 1 minute, right here on ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, there was a question out there, Cap, asked, like, for the Heisman, why can't it be Stetson Bennett, the Georgia quarterback? I think that Duggan did enough, I think, on Saturday. He had his Heisman moment. The guy couldn't breathe and was still trying to rally TCU to a victory. I'm standing at the hotel in Des Moines. Every, like, players and, like, people that were staying at the hotel just standing and pointing at the TV. Like 50 people, like, couldn't believe what they were seeing. This guy rallying TCU to try to get a victory. People just like, look at this guy. The team's trying to congratulate me, can't breathe. Coming off of a heart transplant? Is that what it was?
I jumped out of my chair to go bet on him to win the Heisman.
No, it wasn't a heart transplant, but I think he had 9 hours of heart surgery and a month later was playing.
Crazy.
Take it from a guy who had 9.5. It's no fun. It sucks.
Couldn't put any parlays together on the operating table.
They didn't have those back then.
It's a joke, man. It's a joke. I don't need literal Cap. That's not what got us here.
Because literal Cap, if they had him, I'd have been doing that in the hospital the past the freaking time. It sucked.
You were out. You couldn't have done it.
I would have absolutely gambled in the hospital. 100%.
All the best to Kirstie Alley and her family. The star from Cheers. You see that she passed away. 71.
Yeah, I did. Brief battle with colon cancer. So
put that on the poll, please, at ESPN 1000, Shay. On the show Cheers, did you prefer Rebecca Howe or Diane Chambers? It was two love, actually more love interest for Sam Malone. Cap, that was right up your alley. I know you were working back then, so you didn't get a chance to watch a lot of network TV, but it was so many sports ties to Sam Malone, Ted Danson. It's because it's at a sports bar.
I think I saw that show one time.
The Cub rain delay?
Probably.
Probably so.
Probably. I was never a rom-com, sitcom
funny
guy.
Until you met me.
Right.
Now you watch more stuff.
More. My wife watches literally zero TV. I was on a business trip, gone 3 days. TV never got turned on. In 3 days.
That's crazy. I love the TV. That's how I grew up.
The only thing she watches now is the... Sorry, WGN Morning News.
Yeah.
That's her show.
Absolutely. It's fun. That's why.
I know I work for NBC. Sorry. I'll be like, hey, did you see my hit on NBC this morning? Nope. I was watching Pat Tomasulo. I'm like, great, thanks. Appreciate the support.
So Rebecca or Diane, the love interest for Sam Malone in Cheers. Let's put, see how that comes back. As we do now, the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by...
That'd be Chicago Cut Steakhouse. My guy, David Flom. My guy, Matt Moore. They've cooked up the city's best dining experience.
Charlie.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Well, think about how I was wildly disappointed because I dressed in a robe for the occasion and slippers. And I go in there, and they're just selling me, beans. And a Slurpee.
That's it.
And I was very disappointed because I had I had everything going. I had myself, a little baby oil ready to go. And I go in, and the guy's like, can I help you? It's like, yeah, I'm here for the come and go.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Cap, let's do this tomorrow between 7 and 10 right here on ESPN 1000.
I look forward to it, my man. I get up every day blessed to get to work with you.
We thank you for listening.
And Shay and Charles.
And switching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Shay, our thanks to Charlie, and thanks to you. Thanks for listening to Cap and J-Hood. So long, everybody.
Take that.